Thank you, Sally, for the offertory, and thank you for your faithful giving unto the Lord. And there's a box elder bug. That wasn't in the notes. One other announcement I failed to make. The Ministerial Association here in Sydney will hold a community Thanksgiving service the Sunday evening prior to Thanksgiving. So whatever date that is, the 19th, I believe. It will be held at the Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church at 6 p.m. I encourage all of you to come and to participate in that. I will be the speaker this year. And if you would like to provide special music, there's places for that as well. So just let me know if you would like to participate in that way. But we encourage you to come and meet together with other folks of other churches and celebrate in what God has done and give him thanks. Hebrews chapter 7 is where we're going to turn today. We're going to look at verses 22 through 28, the conclusion of Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, beginning with verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he lives ever to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests who offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law makes men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law makes the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word, we come, Lord, with the heart of a student. We come, Lord, recognizing you as our rabbi, you as our teacher, and we, Lord, in need of learning. And so, Lord, I believe if we will come with that heart and that mind, that we will hang upon your words and we will be drawn into that which is true for our good. And Lord, we desire that. We desire that your word would go forth and that it would water us and grow us and bring about the fruit that you desire to see within us. And so, Lord, hide your servant behind the cross. Speak through ever fallible lips of clay, the infallible word of God. For your glory, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, had a number of interesting highlighted days here this last week. Thursday was my bride's birthday. Her age will remain a mystery to you. No, she doesn't care. That was on Thursday. Friday, if you are not aware, was the 248th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. A special day now for us as well, having a daughter in the Marines. And then, of course, yesterday was Veterans Day. There's reason to celebrate things, whether they are Christian in origin or not. But when we think of these holidays, these events, whether they are specifically Christian or not, I think it would be important for us to recognize or to ask ourselves, is it ethical of us to even participate in them? In other words, is there an ethos within them that is true and right, that would draw us into that occasion? You know how I feel about my birthday, which is September 30th, and it's almost a year away. But I celebrate my birthday, and the reason I celebrate my birthday, although a lot of people celebrate or don't celebrate birthdays void of any thought of God, I celebrate my birthday because I know God is the God who gave me life. And I know that I live according to his grace 365 days. And so for me, a celebration of birthdays points me to Christ. Same thing for anniversaries, same thing for New Year's celebrations and those sorts of things. I look at it through a lens of who Jesus is as God has revealed himself to us. And I ask myself that question, is it right for me to celebrate this? Because it's only right for me to celebrate something if, in fact, I can find its foundation in the person of Jesus. Well, we have two holidays in America to celebrate in those who serve. Memorial Day, which takes place on the last Monday in May, and then, of course, November 11th, Veterans Day. And so the question then for me is, I'm moved to celebrate it. I'm moved to acknowledge those who have served, but then asking myself the question, is it ethical for me to do so? We watched a bit of a documentary, I guess it was a documentary about events that took place in World War II in Germany. And there, too, you would have soldiers who served. But the mindset and the lack of ethos within that distinguished our American soldiers greatly. The American soldier is one who, through self-sacrifice, has procured our freedoms. So you think about Memorial Day. Memorial Day, by its very definition, is to acknowledge and to give thanks for those who gave of their lives to procure freedom. And so when we consider Memorial Day, we could go all the way back to the very, very beginning of our nation and acknowledge that there was a cost to bringing us to a state of freedom. One of the great issues we have in our nation today is that our young people have been lied to, and the idea of the gleaming city upon a hill that this nation was meant to be has been corrupted, and therefore we have a lack of what we should have, and that is a giving of thanks for our freedoms and the cost of them. I remember this last Memorial Day. Diana was soon to be going to boot camp, and we went to the Memorial Day parade. No candy at the parade. Simple parade. A little band on a float playing some patriotic music. But the bulk of that parade is people carrying flags as a means of remembrance for family members and friends who died in service. And I can remember standing in front of the middle school about in that area and seeing little girls dressed up nice and carrying flags. I remember seeing men take their hats from their heads in respect. I remember seeing people standing at attention, quiet and silently, as these people walked by. And I turned to Di and I said, we live in a good place. This is a good place. We are amongst our people right here. And there's something wonderful of nobility. So let's look at Memorial Day first and see if we can make this connection. I would say the thought of Memorial Day here and then going on, as we consider Veterans Day, thank you for your sacrifices, for your valor, for your responsibility, for your carrying on and protecting us and defending of our freedoms. And we would acknowledge that as to the people who gave their lives. In John chapter 19, verse 30, we can draw back to Jesus who gave his life for us. And in John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus' words upon the cross, it is finished. My freedom spiritually was won in Jesus Christ. And when Jesus died upon the cross, when he gave his life, he made opportunity for me to have life in him. The Apostle Paul, and you've heard me say this on a number of occasions, if you're new to your Bibles, I would encourage you to read in the Gospel of John, and then I would encourage you to turn to the letter to the Romans. I think in those two, you'll be drawn to the reality in Christ alone, as we sang early this morning. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, read this way. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there you have a picture of sacrifice, don't you? A sacrifice on behalf of the unblameable one, on behalf of those who deserved blame. And you have a picture there of a sacrifice of love. If you were to look also in John chapter 6, verse 10, you would find this. For in that he died once unto sin, but in that he liveth unto God. Now, John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus said, for scarcely would a man die, but for a righteous man, for even, well, let's read it, because I think I'm butchering it, quite frankly. Turn back there, John chapter 15 and verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And so you can relate that, can't you? Somebody who would lay down their life in order to procure your freedom. It's found in the person of Jesus. And I think you could relate John 15:13 with the love that a soldier has for his nation, a love that he has for the people of the nation, that he would be willing to lay down his life in order that you might remain in your freedoms. Well, in Romans chapter 6, there's an interesting thought that takes place in here. In John chapter 6, where we turned, in verse 10, it speaks to the Christ who died once. But then he says, but in that he liveth unto God. And what I want to look at today specifically is the difference between Memorial Day, which honors those who died, and Veterans Day, which speaks to those who are serving or have served and are yet still living. You see, there's a difference in the two. And just as Memorial Day, we can draw from Christ who died for us, and we're thankful for that, and we thank God for that. Here in Veterans Day, we're drawn to give thanks to those who yet are alive and securing that which was procured by those who died. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people died to bring us into freedom. Other people are living and serving to secure the freedoms that we have. And I just want to challenge you yet today, when it comes to things of Veterans Day, if you know a veteran, give him thanks while he's yet living. And even more importantly than that, when you go to give him thanks, do as Paul did when he talked about all these other Christians in the Bible, and he said, I give God thanks upon every remembrance of you. That you acknowledge God in moving upon the hearts of men and women to give of themselves to secure the freedoms that have already been won for me. Does that make sense? So I think we can tie Veterans Day perfectly to Jesus because of what Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 10. He says, not only did he die once unto sin, but in that he lives, so he lives unto God. And then we go back to our text, Hebrews chapter 7, where we began with verse 22. That Jesus is a surety, he is a guarantee, he is the guarantor of a better covenant, and that there he draws attention to that there were priests in the Old Testament, that these priests offered themselves as intercessories between man and God, that they did it, but they were by reason of death, they could not continue to do it forever. Therefore, their term was short. And then he says of Jesus, and this will be our focus here, verse 25, wherefore he, Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. That the ongoing ministry of Christ, even though our salvation is secured at the cross when he said it is finished, the ongoing work of Christ is what we're going to focus on, is that Jesus is now living, and he's living to make intercession on our behalf. I don't think we think about that enough. I think we think about the cross, and rightfully so, that is our freedom. But Jesus now is in an intercessory position at the right hand of God the Father on our behalf. And look what he says in verse 26 and 27. He makes again the comparison. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needs not daily as those high priests who offer up sacrifice. No, that was done. And that was done once. That's the finished work of Christ. First for his own sins, this he's making the reference to the priest, and then for the people's. For this he did once, Jesus did once, when he offered up himself. So you have both there. You have this issue of Jesus as our sacrifice upon the cross to bring us into this freedom. And then you have in verse 25 this ongoing ministry of Jesus that he intercedes on our behalf going forward. Look at these passages with me. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Again, Paul enumerates on these ideas and things that we need to be thinking on. If we're going to hold to the ethic of Veterans Day, we should be able to find it in Jesus. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "For when we were enemies, we are reconciled unto God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Well, now I thought I was saved by his death. You were. But now this is the ongoing work of Christ. This is the ongoing work of salvation in our lives. It's this idea that you have been saved, you're being saved, and you will be saved. And we sit in that middle tense where we are being saved from the power of sin. And it is Christ in that middle sense who is interceding on our behalf to secure the freedoms that were procured for us when he died. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, if you go back to the book of Job, you find that Job had an accuser. And that accuser was Satan. And he would go to heaven, he would go to God the Father, and he would make accusations against Job. And the same thing happens today. Satan is your accuser. And he goes before to accuse you. And what he comes into is Jesus, the intercessor, who is interceding on your behalf. The ongoing work of Jesus is to determine the ongoing state of your salvation. That he goes before God, an intercessor. An intercessor is one who brings two parties together. He intercedes between you and God. And as we look through these passages of Scripture, we're going to find he is not simply an intercessor, as magnificent as that is. He is also a mediator on our behalf. And we'll talk about what that means. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, which we looked at, that we will be saved by his life. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. And here you have it. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. You see it there? This is the ongoing work of Christ in securing the freedom that was procured at the cross. If you look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now we have an intercessor, which brings us together. Now we have an advocate, and that's a legal term. And it means that you have a defense attorney against anybody who would rail Satan, that would accuse you. You have a defense attorney, and his name is Jesus. If you stood in a court of law, and the prosecutor accused you of a crime, you would want to have a defense attorney who could stand before the judge and proclaim your innocence. And that is exactly what Jesus does. He proclaims our innocence. He proclaims our freedom. He proclaims to the Father, this is one who is washed in my blood. This is one who is yours. This is one who stands in my righteousness. And he defends us against the accuser. If you look at 2 Timothy, and again, I'm trying to find an understanding of what I celebrate in Veterans Day. Is it ethical? Because it must be found in Jesus in order for it to be ethical, and indeed it is. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, I think. I got to look here. 1 Timothy, I knew I had that right. I do that often. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. I am thankful today for people who commit themselves under oath to serve our nation, to secure my freedoms, that they stand in the gap between the enemy and me to secure me. I'm thankful for that. But I am ever more thankful that I have a mediator that stands in defense of me to secure me in my relationship with a holy God. And Jesus does that. On Friday, we went on a little road trip for Di's birthday, and we ended up in Glendive, and then we ended up in Miles City. We were just kind of rambling aimlessly. But anyway, I wore, because of the Marine Corps' birthday, I wore my daughter is a Marine t-shirt. It's very tight around the chest. And it was amazing to me how many conversations that started. And they started simply on that level. Military service. How thankful we are. But almost every one of those conversations turned to Jesus. Almost every one of those turned to Jesus. Why? Because what we find is noble in those who fight to secure our freedoms is an example of what Jesus does every day in intercession on your behalf. He made you free. He keeps you free. He secures your freedom. How great is our God. Again, I thank you, men, and I think one lady today, Tina, for your service. I thank you that God has moved your heart to do such a thing. And whatever your sacrifice, great or small, I acknowledge that today. And it reminds me of my need of Jesus to intercede on my behalf daily. I am weak, but he is strong. Our gracious Heavenly Father, the thought of freedom that has been granted to us through the cross is not a freedom to walk according to our own strength or our own way or our own will. Rather, Lord, it's to walk according to you, And Lord, I recognize today, and I trust, Lord, that we as a people, that we all recognize that left to ourselves, we stumble and fall. But that Christ intercedes on our behalf. That it is according to his strength that we are saved. It is according to his strength that we are being saved. And it is according to his strength that we will be saved when you take us home. And so, Lord, learning to be appreciative of the interceding power of Jesus on my behalf and to give you thanks, not one day of the year, not 2 days of the year, but, Lord, daily before you to give you thanks. We praise you today. We worship you in spirit and in truth. And so we pray in Jesus' name, amen.